This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's John Dalby Banks Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see johncast.net.
This month in the news, gamma ray bursts and flickering stars. In the midst of the Cold War, the Vela satellites were watching for evidence of nations violating the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty by detonating nuclear weapons in the Earth's atmosphere or in outer space. The event they were looking for was the characteristic gamma ray burst that occurs when a nuclear weapon explodes. However, between 1969 and 1972, they detected 16 gamma ray bursts that appeared to be originating from a source not of the Earth. These gamma ray bursts were the first observations of the single most energetic event that could occur in the universe, the origin of which we still do not completely understand today. Gamma rays are a very energetic form of light. For example, we can see with our own eyes optical light from red to blue. Blue being the highest frequency and the most energetic. If you were to increase the frequency of blue light, giving it more and more energy, it would first become ultraviolet, then X-rays, and then finally gamma rays. A gamma ray burst, then, is a short flash of extremely energetic rays of light that may last only a few milliseconds or up to a few tens of seconds. Even so, for the duration of their short lives, gamma ray bursts are the brightest event in the universe, and the briefer their life, the brighter they are. The shortest gamma ray bursts being briefly 100,000 times brighter than a supernova. Since the Vela satellites, we have learnt a lot more about gamma ray bursts. For example, we know that after the initial burst, the object from which the burst originated will have an afterglow that for days after will shine with the full spectrum of light from X-rays to radio waves. This has led to modern gamma ray burst experiments being a mix of different astronomers all working together. We also know that the longer gamma ray bursts of a few seconds or more originate from the core of an exploding star upon the moment it goes supernova. However, the cause of the shortest gamma ray bursts is still a mystery. One reason for this is that the shortest gamma ray bursts are so powerfully energetic that we simply cannot explain how they occur without using extreme astrophysical scenarios, such as the collision of two neutron stars to form a stellar mass black hole. Such events are poorly understood, in part because they are incredibly complicated, but also because they have never been observed. As mentioned earlier, gamma ray bursts are followed by a long afterglow. The cause of the afterglow is thought to be related to an expanding shell of radioactive material that is blown out from the initial collision of the two neutron stars that caused the burst. As the radioactive material decays, it will give off light from X-rays to radio waves that we detect on Earth. This event is known as a kilonova. A kilonova is also expected to appear in optical and infrared light as a short-lived and much dimmer supernova. Last month, astronomers using numerous different telescopes, including the Swift, Herschel and Hubble telescopes, believe they may have found the first detection of a kilonova in both infrared and optical. By quickly reacting to the detection of a gamma ray burst, they were able to observe the kilonova from its very beginning. Then, by measuring how the brightness of the kilonova changed over many days, have been able to match the observations with predictions. This means that they could have made the first direct observation of two neutron stars colliding, but to be sure, they will need to have more observations of other kilonovas. If they are correct, though, short gamma ray bursts and their subsequent kilonovas could become the basis of future astronomical experiments, because they could be used to test for the existence of gravitational waves and probe the early universe. Also in the news, when we see stars in the night sky, we can see them twinkling and changing rapidly as the atmosphere jostles around the light as it travels towards our eyes. These changes have nothing to do with the intrinsic nature of the star, and if we were to be viewing the stars from space, we would see them as stable points of light. However, if our eyes were more sensitive, we would see that they were not stable at all, but are constantly undergoing variations in their brightness on all kinds of timescales, be it minutes, hours, or days. By observing the changes in the brightness from the surface of a star, it is possible to infer the strength of its gravitational field. This technique is called astroseismology. Traditionally, astronomers will watch for the effects of large-scale changes in brightness that occur over the course of days. These variations in brightness are typically related to the star's magnetic field and manifest as dark blemishes on the surface known as sunspots. However, these sorts of observations are limited to space-based telescopes because, as mentioned at the start, the light is changed too much by traversing through the atmosphere to be able to measure the changes in brightness of a star accurately using ground-based telescopes. Satellites like Kepler, then, are required by astroseismologists to make their measurements. Unfortunately, though, observing time with satellite-based telescopes is very competitive, and the long observations required to make accurate measurements of the gravitational field from brightness variations of stars can only be afforded to a few sources. Fortunately, new research by a team of astroseismologists have uncovered a potential new way of measuring a star's gravitational field in a fraction of the time. This is done by measuring the flicker of the star, very fast variations in the star's brightness caused by convective currents beneath the surface. What they did was to reobserve stars whose gravitational field had already been well established using the old technique. Then, they would compare the old result for the gravitational field of the stars with the one they measured from the star's flicker variation. What they found was the new technique agreed very closely with the results of the old technique. With this encouraging result, they now hope that in the future they will be able to measure the flicker variation of many stars of all different kinds, without having to steal the observing time from other astronomers.